Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. I have some good news for you. The greatest news that I could ever tell you is that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's great news. A holy God loves you. In spite of what you may have done, in spite of what you may be facing, God loves you. He loves all members of the human race, you included, me included, and that's great news. And the great news is you can love him back. God loves you, that's his love for you, and you can love him. You can reciprocate that love by growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what this show is about, explaining how God's plan works. You know, the Bible says, God said in the book of Jeremiah, he said, I'm looking for those who know me and understand me. And there's a big difference between knowing God and understanding God. That's why we have these Bible classes on this radio show called The Flatline, to try and to help you understand the God that you may already indeed know well. But do you understand the protocol involved? What does it mean a right thing must be done in a right way? Do you understand those unique problem-solving devices he provided for you, at least 10 that we can identify? And that's what we build our main line of resistance upon. The Flatline is your main line of resistance. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices that God gave you. Learn them, orient and adjust to the plan, and see the phenomenal things that can happen. That's why this show is geared up this way. Here, you know, we have high IQ. Some have high IQ, some have low IQ. But the IQ is not the issue. Spiritual IQ is the issue. When you take God's word and learn it and use it in your life, apply it in your soul, when you begin to think with the mind of Christ, you develop a spiritual IQ. Romans 12:3 says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. His word. How should we think? Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ operated under these problem-solving devices, but he never needed to remount any sin, and he wasn't occupied with himself, but he sure had the impersonal love for all mankind. He sure had personal love for his Father. He sure shared his happiness. He was oriented to the Word. He quoted the Word constantly. He was grace-oriented. He lived by faith. He walked under the filling of the Holy Spirit just like you do. So this is all amazing information for us. What happens is that people don't want it until they get in a crisis. When a crisis hits, people tend to want to look to God because they have no answers. And there's no doubt that in this day, the United States of America, the year 2020, is facing a crisis. People are scared to death. People are hoarding food, hoarding water, hoarding toilet paper. They're afraid they're going to die. They're afraid they're going to be stuck in their house forever. They're afraid they might not be able to eat. I don't know what they're afraid of. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never have to fear death, because Satan is the one who makes you fear death. He can intimidate you and manipulate you by your fear of death. And you don't have to do that. The Bible clearly says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain in life together will be with them in the air, so shall evermore be with the Lord. This is at the exit resurrection, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can read about it yourself. When that whistle blows, when the Father says, that's it, it's over, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and retrieve the church, the body of Christ. And if you are a believer that's still alive, then you'll just go through the ceiling. You'll just zap right on out of here. But if you've passed away, then you'll walk out of that grave in a resurrection body, a new body, a body you'll have forever and ever and ever. It's an amazing thing to understand. Come to knowledge, and it gives you great peace and great confidence in God's plan. So we must all understand the spiritual life if we ever hope to glorify God. If we don't prepare, then we don't have any recognition of what's going on, then we don't have any confidence and trust in God. Here's what the Bible says in concerning what you're facing today as a Christian. How can you orient and adjust to that? Well, let's use this verse, Psalm 55:22. Cast all your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, we start off with the word cast and the imperative mood verb of the word shalach in the Hebrew. Psalm 55:22, shalach, is cast. That's what it means. And I know something about casting. I'm a fisherman. And so when I'm fishing, I cast my rod and reel. Accurate casting is a requirement for a professional angler, and I'm not a professional angler. I could have been had I wanted to go in that direction, but that was a passion, not a priority. My spiritual gift of evangelism is my priority in my life, and it should be your priority too, whatever your spiritual gift is. But fishing is a passion for a lot of people, and we know how to cast without throwing it up in the tree, without hanging it up in the rocks, without bouncing it off the pier. We're accurate casters. I remember telling the church the other day I was fishing with a friend of mine who could skip a worm under a boat dock. Like you would skip a flat rock, he could skip it under a boat dock with maybe only an inch or two clearance between the dock and the water, and maybe catch a big fish up under that dock hiding. Well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it under there. I'd hit the dock or hit the water in front of the dock, and it wouldn't go under there. So we finally came to a pier that had about 8 or 10 inches between the bottom of the wood and the water. And he said, "Now, that's a Ray Charles pier." And I thought, what's he talking about, Ray Charles pier? And you know Ray Charles was blind. He said, "That's a blind man. A blind man could throw under that pier." And he was right. I finally got it under that pier. But, you know, being able to accurately cast is important. And it's important for you to cast. This is a mandate from the original languages. Cast all your burdens on the Lord. In this case, it's the faith rest drill. And in this case, in order for your fear, your faith to be effective, you've got to hit the target. If your faith doesn't hit the target, you're not effective. And in this case, the target is God's universal provision of Scripture. And you cannot hit what you cannot see. So we all depend on health care when necessary. But the doctor that we trust most is our loving Heavenly Father. So when you have a threat to your safety, when you have a threat to your security, cast all your burdens on the Lord. And He shall, absolutely 100%, He shall sustain you. He won't throw you under the bus. He won't abandon you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved, the verse says. Proverbs 8:17 says this, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me." So casting your cares on the Lord would be like you seeking Him early. You get up in the morning and you thank Him for a wonderful day and ask for His provisions and protection during that day and look for opportunities to reflect the love of Jesus Christ through your life to your neighbors, to your friends. In Job 5:22, "At destruction and famine you shall laugh." Economic, health, social, even death, you can laugh at those destructions. Job was told this, and that's true. If you are a child of God, if you are growing spiritually, staying in fellowship and not under discipline from God for your sin, you can laugh at famine and destruction, economically, health-wise, social-wise, because you have, as Psalm 55:22 said, you have cast all your burdens on the Lord. That means it's not your responsibility. Worry is you assuming an unassigned responsibility. It is not your responsibility to worry about your life, to worry about your kids, to worry about this. The Lord handles that. It's His responsibility to protect you if you are His child. Cast all your burdens, the word says, Yehah, Yehav, in the Hebrew. It means the things that you have been placed under, the responsibilities that you have been given. And you have been placed under a responsibility at this time in our country, maybe of quarantine, maybe of staying inside, maybe you can't go outside, maybe you can't do this or can't do that. That's the burden that you're carrying. Just cast it on Him. Relax. Take it easy. Enjoy life. He's in control. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy, weary from trials, weary from exhaustion. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, and who carry a heavy burden, he said. Let me back that up. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. In the Greek New Testament, that word burden is different from the word in the Hebrew. In the Greek New Testament, in Matthew 11:28, burden is portizo, P-H-O-R-T-I-Z-O. It's a different meaning. It means referring to the demands that you've been placed under physically, placing demands on your resources. It's used metaphorically of the demands, for example, there of the law of Moses imposed by the religious leaders. And people couldn't live under those laws. They couldn't exist under those laws. No one could live up to that. So you have to cast every burden you have on the Lord. And then remember this verse, Matthew 10:28. Fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's right. There will either be two births or two deaths. The first birth is when you're born into the world from your mom and pop, and you come into the world a shining baby, boy or girl. That's birth one. Birth two is when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus he needed to be born again in John chapter 3. Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. He thought that was crazy, that no one could go back into their parents' womb and be born again. And the Lord gently corrected him and said, no, it's not physical, it's spiritual. The spiritual rebirth is your human spirit being made alive. It's God the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you and making you spiritually alive, because you're born spiritually dead. You're born with a sin-infected virus, the virus of sin and death. And for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. You're born into that. You have that virus already. And there's only one solution. There's only one thing to be inoculated with, and that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There it is. That's the antidote to the virus of sin and death. So, it's yours if you want it. Don't be afraid of anyone else. You want to be afraid of somebody, you better take a look at what God said. Hell is not the place you want to be. But remember this, hell and the lake of fire are horrible. Revelation 20 talks about the lake of fire and who will be in the lake of fire. And it says, whoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. I told you, two births and two deaths. Either you're going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. The first death is when it's appointed and a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. The second death is being cast into the lake of fire. If you have had two births, you will not have two deaths. But if you've only had one birth, then you'll go through two deaths, death one and death two. Physical death and cast into the lake of fire, death two. So, put your trust in the Lord, and don't worry about what man can do to you. Psalm 56:11. In God, I will put my trust, and I will not be afraid of what man can do to me, regardless of what man can create. Nobody's going anywhere until the Lord says it's time. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. This means your loving Father is watching over you. I pity those that have no hope, no divine protection. You need to tell them the good news about the eradication of sin and death virus, and maybe they might believe it. But if they don't have any hope, if they don't have any divine protection, they are scared to death today. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That is the sin and death virus right there. And Christ Jesus is the antidote to the sin and death. Now, I want to go over to another passage that will be interesting for you. I want to go to Philippians 1:9, verse 9 through 11. And this will talk a little bit about the love of God for you. I told you God loves you. He's not going to throw you under the bus. He's watching over you. The question is, do you have the faith to trust Him? Do you do that? Can you trust God with your life, with the life of your children, with your finances? If so, then it's in His court, not your court. But if you don't, then you're going to worry. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be intimidated. In Philippians 1:9, verse 11 through 11, 9, 10, and 11, this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able, you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Knowledge produces wisdom, and wisdom gives insight and discernment. What did he say? That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Your love is the Greek word agape or agapao. And that's the divine love that we understand to be occupation with Christ. He wants you, Paul is writing now to the church at Philippi, but to you as well. He wants your love to abound. Perisuo. He's praying for your spiritual growth, just like your pastor would pray for your spiritual growth, that you would increase in spiritual growth. But you have to abound. Abound. Perisuo. It means to exceed a certain number or a certain measure. And what we call this in the Greek morphology is a subjunctive mood, which says maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's really up to you, how much hunger you have, whether or not you have a desire for knowledge. When knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, the book of Proverbs says, that means that knowledge is great, like a Twinkie. You know, you love them Twinkies. You love those donuts. You love that chocolate. Do you love the Word of God? Can't wait to get into it today. If you got some cookies at home you love, you can't wait to go home and get a cookie. But what about the Bible? What about God's Word? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? I hope so, because that's what it's going to take. Abound. I want your love to abound more and more. The Lord Jesus Christ knew all about abounding. You know, when he fed those 5,000, they had 12 baskets full left over. And his love demonstrated his provisions and care for them. You have to do the same thing. You have to. You know, the greatest love we've seen, apart from the love of God, or our love for God, is a combat veteran's love. Men that served in combat together. Men who faced death together. You know, these men had a great love and great appreciation for each other in World War II, in the Korean War, Vietnam War. I've had the honor of knowing men like this that love their combat veterans. In the war with Japan, when we fought World War II, Germany on one coast and Japan on the other, the Japanese would willingly die for the Emperor Hirohito. Willingly die for him. However, they were amazed that the American fighting man would die for one another, that our love for our fellow soldier would cause us to jump on a grenade and save his life. Do you ever consider this? This is a thought I want you to think about. The Lord Jesus Christ jumped on the grenade in the foxhole with you. He died for you. He took your place. He sacrificed himself to make you free. He did it for you. Our love for God has different levels based on maturity, based on fidelity, based on trust, but you must grow to appreciate that love. And the only way to do it is to grow in knowledge. And the word epignosis is the word for knowledge there, but it's only one of two words. There are a couple of words for knowledge in the Bible. One of them is G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. And that knowledge doesn't do you any good. It's just an accumulation of facts that you understand. But epignosis is knowledge that you've converted from fact to faith and believed it and applied it into your life. This is what God is looking for you to take the information you're hearing, even from your pastor, and to transfer that information from your mind, where it assimilates, over to your heart, where you can make the application. When it's in your heart, it's epignosis. When it's in your mind, it's gnosis. Gnosticism is a worship of knowledge. Christianity is not Gnosticism. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And so we come to understand these things when it gets into our heart. We learn about it. We apply it into our life. So he wants their love to increase. If you consider love is much like a river, it flows directionally. You know, when a river gets out of its banks in a flood, it's very destructive. It can wipe away homes and wash cars off the road and kill people. Well, love that's not under control is destructive. If you can't control passion, it's destructive. And so the only way you can ever control love is not to let it be an emotional thing. This is not an emotional thing. This is a different type of love. This is a love that is related to your understanding God's plan for your life. So he wants your love to grow in knowledge and depth of insight. And that word depth of insight is a Greek word called eisthesis. Eisthesis, and it means discernment. That you would have great discernment in your soul. And that's hypoxlegomena, we call it. It's only used one time in the Bible. But if you consider the banks of the river's flowing to the south. On one side of the river is knowledge. On the other side of the river is eisthesis, or discernment. This is how you keep love directional going. If you learn about God's Word, if you not only know Him but understand Him, then you have epinosis. So when you have epinosis, then you can respond to God's love by loving Him back reciprocally. And when you love Him, you have discernment. And that's the other side of the bank of the river, discernment or eisthesis. And this is you having the ability to see through the devil's mirage. Satan throws up a smoke screen. And if you have knowledge of the Word of God, you can have discernment to see through it and not be distracted, not be knocked off course, not be defeated in your Christian life. So the delusional daydreamer, he's not interested in discovering the love of God. He's not interested in anything like that at all because he's in love with his own self. He considers himself to be equal with God. Proverbs 1:22 said, "How long will you naive ones love being simple?" Yes, Proverbs 3:7, they consider themselves wise in their own eyes. The people that are delusional daydreamers are in panic palace right now today because they thought they were so smart and they didn't need God. They didn't need God's Word. They didn't need the filling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they start facing crisis like this, then they may begin to second think, or they'll just get bitter and angry and say, "Well, okay, there is a God, but I hate him because of what he's done." You know, it can go that way too, can it? But without acquiring some sort of spiritual IQ, by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, that's problem-solving device number one. And without you having some epinosis, that's taking what you heard and applying it into your life, you will never, ever, ever have maximum love or maximum appreciation for God. At best, it'll just be a superficial emotion, and which is, I guess, better than nothing, but far from the best. The best is knowing the God you love, understanding the God you love, how you can reflect Jesus Christ through your life, how you can fulfill God's plan in your life. I mean, it's sad to wind up doing all the right things in the wrong way, and thus accumulating nothing but wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's going to be for a lot of folks that didn't understand. Never took the time. Oh, they love God. Yes. Oh, yeah, I love God, they'll say. But they didn't understand the God they loved. They did the right thing, did it in the wrong way. And what does verse 10 say of Philippians 9:10? So that you would be able to discern what is best and that you could be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. To discern is the Greek word dokimazo. And it's a verb, and it's a present tense verb. There never is a time you shouldn't discern. You should always be able to discern what is God's will for your life. If you don't understand that, then you don't even have a place to get started. The Bible wants you to approve God's will for your life, that you may be able to discern what is best, pure, and blameless. You have to make choices in life. You have to distinguish between what's excellent and what's wrong. And many people waste time doing good things that are totally a waste of time. Totally. In their spiritual lives. It's easy to get distracted and drift from grace. getting involved in some program that has nothing to do with your spiritual growth. So I could talk a lot about that, but let me wrap this up by saying this, that he wants you to be pure, pure. And that's the interesting Greek word, alikrinos, alikrinos. And that means not contaminated morally, and not contaminated with false doctrine, pure from defilement. How could you reflect the love of God if you're contaminated with prejudice, religious ritual, or self-serving sin? You can't. So he wants you to be pure and blameless, aproskopos, aproskopos. And that means not causing others to stumble or lead them astray. That's what Paul's saying. He wants you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter actually said that. But that you would grow in knowledge and grace here, and that you would continue to glorify Christ with your life. You know, there's some pretty sleazy people running around this country. And we have a mandate to love them just like Christ loves them. We might not approve of their sin, but we do offer them deliverance and forgiveness and love in Christ Jesus. We have to, because God loved them just as much as he loved you. So, is it possible you forgot that? Is it possible you don't have that first love you had? Remember why he came to start with, to seek and save those that are lost. And you're not the only one that needed it. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. And that's your mission also, to demonstrate God's love through your life, be a reflecting of Jesus Christ's love for them, give them hope in this time of crisis. People are scared. People don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. You have the answers, some of those we gave you today. So think about it.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, you have an invitation to stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and always without any manipulation. Remember that God gave you two ends, one of those ends you sit with and one of those ends you think with. And success in your life will depend on which one of those ends you use. Heads, obviously you'll win. And tails, well, obviously you're going to lose. So here's the good news, that everyone listening to me has a brain. Some people have super high IQs, that's not me. Some have middle-of-the-road IQ, but however, in God's wonderful plan, human IQ is not the issue. It can be supplemented by learning God's Word and developing these 10 problem-solving devices in your life that we talk about, called a flatline, and this gives you a spiritual IQ, totally different from human IQ. Spiritual IQ is the ability to have the invisible ministry of God the Holy Spirit take the power of the living Word of God in your life and place it into your soul where it becomes wisdom. And from there, wisdom gives you tremendous, phenomenal discernment and insight through the eyes of the Scripture. We call it spiritual X-ray vision. And by having wisdom, discernment, and insight, you can save yourself a lot of trouble and a lot of mistakes. And so as we go into perilous times in our country, a lot of weird things happening where you live and where I live, people have to wonder about what's going on and what's God saying to us. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll mention a little of that today. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing is you develop a flatline in your soul. And that is so you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. Stress is what you do to yourself. Adversity is what circumstances do to you. When we have national emergency as we have in this country today, there's a lot of people stressed out. There are a lot of people afraid, and there are a lot of people that don't have a peace in their life. That doesn't mean that we don't all face perilous times. It means some people face it with a different attitude, a more relaxed mental attitude. And that's the mind of Christ. That's the relaxed mental attitude that goes with what the Lord Jesus Christ said, "My joy I give unto you." So even in the fiercest battle of life, we can have joy and a relaxed mental attitude by leaning on the flot line in our soul. Remember, the flot line is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices, and we teach these constantly on our show. And if you have never heard them, we have a book called Christian Problem Solving that we will give you free. We also have 3 books that you can have free, which are the recordings of all the radio shows of the year 2019. We have the transcripts now put into print, and every radio show we produced, 52 shows, are in 3 volumes, and you can read it word for word, just as if I was speaking it to you. And that's free. If you'd like to have those 3 books, just write to me or call me on the internet, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. And you can order the books there, or you can order some of the other material that we have there that'll help you in your Christian life as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So remember, that flot line starts off with rebound. That's confessing any known sin to God. The reason that has to be done is the Holy Spirit cannot help you develop wisdom when you have sin in your life. Sin in your life, the Bible says, quenches the Holy Spirit and grieves the Holy Spirit. Thus, the believer has to have a way to get rid of sin. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, and it also says it in the Old Testament in Psalm 32:4-5, if we confess our sin, then He, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of wrongdoing. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about it when he said, "I don't understand myself at all because I don't want to do some of the things that I do, and I hate doing them, but it's sin inside of me." Yes, there is a sin nature inside of all of us, and that sin nature can be controlled or it can be manipulated. Satan is a master at manipulating your sin nature. But the Word of God gives you control over the sin nature by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit and by means of the residence of Bible doctrine of the Word of God in your soul. That gives you discernment, and that gives you insight, and that gives you the power to live it. You know, we're all under a strange virus. Not the coronavirus. I'm not talking about that. The virus of sin and death, the Bible talks about. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And now death is passed upon all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Strangely enough, that's the very thing people fear with the coronavirus today, is death. And death is something to be feared, because after the death comes the judgment. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And even with no coronavirus, we will die. We have to die, because that's the way we're made. We're going to die, and we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne, one of the two. You'll be at one of those two judgments. If you're a believer, then you'll be in 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not a believer, you'll find yourself in Revelation 20 at the great white throne of judgment, and that's where you don't want to be. So the Bible goes on to talk about if the Holy Spirit controls your life, some of the wonderful things you can have. In Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and mildness and etc. These are all wonderful Christ-given assets that we can acquire through the filling of the Holy Spirit. These immutable assets of our Lord Jesus Christ are ours to use as well through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the second problem-solving device. Rebound is the first. Filling of the Holy Spirit is the second. The filling of the Holy Spirit handles the problem of the sin nature. We don't have to live under the sin nature. We don't have to be dominated by the sin nature. Even though we're infected with it, we'll get rid of it when we do die and when we get a resurrection body. It will be a sin-free body like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we learn these things, we learn about the faith rest drill. That's another problem-solving device. This is where we can use the Scripture to stand behind and act as a shield to deflect the fiery darts that Satan may throw your way to intimidate you, to move you into fear, to depress you. You don't have to live like that. So using the shield of faith is a wonderful thing to do. Those are the first three problem-solving devices: rebound, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the faith rest drill. Then we move to grace orientation. You're saved by grace. You live by grace. You die by grace. There's surpassing grace in heaven. All of these things are wonderful, wonderful things to study and learn. But then there's biblical orientation, and where the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's there for a reason, so that in times just like these that we face today, in crisis living like we have today, there's strength to be found in the Scripture. There's comfort to be found in the Scripture. There's confidence in the Scripture if you believe it and if you use it. So it's important that you have some biblical orientation to know where you go. Where do I go to get that peace? We're going to talk about that here in just a second. So from biblical orientation, we move into a personal sense of destiny. God has a plan for your life, and that begins when the moment you believe in Christ and ends when you move into heaven to be face-to-face with your Heavenly Father. All of this is motivated by your personal love for God, a great virtue in your life. It motivates you to be obedient, and then you use gentle love for those that you have a hard time dealing with, and that allows you to love them based on who you are, not based on who they are, because that's exactly the way God loved you, with His impersonal love. Remember where the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You were a sinner when He did that, and He wasn't in love with you when He did that. He used His impersonal love. Once you believed in Christ, you moved into the royal family of God, become a child of God, then we have personal love of God affected and applied into your life. So we have personal love for God, His love for you, and impersonal love for others. But there's also your love for God. That's reciprocation. He loves you. You love Him back. And by loving Him back, that's your personal virtue. That's the greatest virtue you could have, to love God. Because the greatest virtue He showed was loving you. And then there's sharing the happiness of God. A wonderful thing to understand when Christ said, "My joy I give to you." It's the ability to be happy regardless of the circumstances because you have something called contentment. And Paul said it didn't make any difference whether he had a lot or whether he had a little. He was content at all times in his life. And finally, there's occupation with Christ, which is what we'll talk a little bit about today, reflecting the character essence of the Lord Jesus Christ through your life. You are to be a representative of Jesus Christ by representing His life to your friends. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what you do. You represent the mind of Christ. And that's why the Bible says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, the Bible says. God loves us. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can love as well. And just love right back. That's a wonderful thing. I can love people that don't love me. And if you'll think about the worst person in your neighborhood that you don't like, you're mandated in the Bible to love that person, not with a physical love, not run down there and throw your arms around his neck, but to be relaxed, to have a relaxed mental attitude, to be helpful, to pray for them if they need prayer, to assist them if they need assistance, because you're loving them based on who God is in you, not based on who they are. They might not have anything worth loving in them, but you do. Because you have Jesus Christ living in you, and He died for them, just like He died for you. So you have no right to be prejudiced. You have no right to have hatred. You have no right to have bitterness towards any person, any race, any individual. Now, love, joy, peace. Peace is a wonderful asset of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a divine characteristic, and it's developed in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you're born into this world, and when you accept Christ, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed with the Holy Spirit. But when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. So, what do? You go to God and admit your sin. Problem-solving device number one, rebound. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples. He told them he had to go away, but he had sent an associate that would help them, a mentor, the Holy Spirit, and he would guide them and lead them into all truth. And whenever the Holy Spirit is leading you, you're going to be reflecting the life of Christ by having peace, love, joy. Peace is part of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a characteristic of divine love manifested in you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to this when I say it's a characteristic of divine love. Listen to this verse. Philippians 4:7, and the peace which passes all understanding and all comprehension, the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, all everything, it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Listen again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Peace of God. It's yours. You can have it. Our peace with God is a direct result of accepting Christ, a direct result of receiving Him as our Savior, because since He paid for our sin and God redeemed us by His mercy and saved us and forgave us, then we have peace with God. And our peace in the world, dealing with the world and what we're facing, like with this virus thing we're facing, that's a relaxed mental attitude based on you using the Word of God in your soul that gives you contentment and confidence. Two key words for you to remember. Being content and being confident in His plan and in His provisions. You see, you can enjoy peace at all times. Because why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed peace at all times. This peace I'm talking about is some tranquility in your life, where you're not overcome with fear, you're not overcome with doubt. That's not going to happen to you. However, there are some people that cannot have any peace. Those are the ones who reject Christ as Savior. The unbeliever who fails to adjust to the grace of God has no peace. His humanistic attitude rejects God's forgiveness because he deems himself either smarter than God or believes there is no God. And his life runs out sooner or later, and there is no peace. I call him the delusional daydreamer. He's mentioned in Proverbs 3:7, where he is the one who thinks he's wise in his own eyes. That sort of person who's wise in his own eyes, who will not defer to the wisdom of God, will never find completeness in his life and definitely will have no happiness in his life or in eternity. In fact, probably the only happiness he could ever discover would be inside of a divine institution called marriage. God designed one man and one woman for each other. And there is happiness in a divine institution called marriage. But the evil of the scoffer, the one who scoffs at God, the one who rejects God, the one who thinks he's wiser than God, it'll come back to destroy him eventually. And he will be abandoned alone in the devil's world, living by means of the devil's deceit, and he will drift hopelessly in life with no harbor to pull into during the storm. See, that's the neat thing about you right now. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're anchored in the harbor of God's love. You're anchored in the harbor of God's peace, and you're not living in the storm of life. However, the unbeliever has no anchor. He is fearful and running for his life right now, scared to death. Not you, because God's peace is expressed in confident expectation of God's plan for your life. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not the world, not like what the world gives, I give it to you. So don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Fear, having fear, that's the expression of anxiety, not peace. And the mature believer who grows in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if he possesses the peace of God, he never, ever fears his time on earth or in eternity because of the confidence that he has from God himself. So, we have to have patience. We have to have a little faith in God's provisions and protections. After all, you are a child of God. And after all, he loves you in spite of your failures and your flaws and mine as well. He loves us. Just as you lay your children to bed and watch over them, check on them, make sure they're safe, God the Father is watching over you. He loves you. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God Himself, the God of peace, that's our Father, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace is your God, and His peace you can reflect in your life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Another asset that is ours as Christians who grow in grace and allow the Holy Spirit to control our life is patience. That's a divine characteristic of God's divine love, and it's given to us. God's patient with us. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts and into the love of God and into the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So patience is a manifestation of peace. When you have peace, you're very patient. Let me give you some insight on peace, okay? You may need to hear this today. Maybe this will comfort you. Excuse me. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace, there's your word, and sleep. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. Is that not a good verse for you tonight? When you go to bed tonight, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. There are a lot of people that can't say that. They'll be watching the news well into midnight, trying to figure out what's going to happen. Are we going to die? Are we going to starve to death? Are we not going to have this? Are we not going to have that? Strangely enough, the biggest fear is running out of some sort of paper product. That's crazy. This sort of peace I'm talking about is no nightmares. No nightmares due to insecurity. Your Father who loves you, the same way a human dad loves his children, your Father will guard you even in the darkest moments of life. Your Father is watching over you right now. You might not feel it, you might not know it, but He's there. Do you have the faith to trust Him? Psalm 4:8 again, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. You should have a great night's sleep, not worry about anything going on in this world. This peace that I'm talking about is a confidence in His provisions and a confidence in His protection. This is the basis for this relaxed mental attitude I'm talking about, confidence in God's love. And when you show that same love reflecting through your life to your children, to your friends, when you demonstrate that peace, it's magnetic to them. They don't understand where you get it. Matter of fact, they may think you're a little strange. They may think you're hard. They may think you're goofy because you're not afraid like they're afraid. You're not taking all the precautions that they're partaking. You're actually going outside and walking around. Oh, no. The peace of God is reflected by tranquility, being calm. It's reflected with harmony, which is blending your will and His will together. And your faith produces this kind of harmony. And, you know, that's pretty attractive to the lost person. If he looks at you, if he sees you, if he observes you, the way that you live, this sort of peace, this contentment we call faith rest, is music to his ears, because he doesn't see it anywhere else. But if he sees it in you, he'll be attracted to you. And this is your opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ with people like that. Contentment is the reflected love of God in your life, and it's visible to those who are always watching you. In Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But hang on to this verse now. Listen. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. All of them. Not some of them. All of them. Afflictions are an opportunity to exercise your faith. It's an opportunity to demonstrate your confidence in God's plan for your life. And they're going to come along. They have to come along. This is how we grow. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Think it not strange, these trials that you face. It's common to man. And what we're going through today in this country is nothing different. There have been pandemics before. There have been things before that have killed thousands, even hundreds, millions of people. Heck, talking to a doctor the other day, the doctor told me that the common cold has already killed 11,000 people in the country this year. 11,000 from the cold, and that's not counting the flu. And here we're worried about the virus. So, afflictions are an opportunity to exercise your faith. Paul's attitude got a little bit out of sort when he had an affliction that he wanted God to get rid of for him. He wanted a little special attention from God, and we all want that sometimes. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12:8, I asked God three times to take it away from me. Take it away. Take it away. But the Lord said to him, and I'm sure in his prayers he saw, heard this, felt this, my grace provisions are sufficient for you. For my strength is brought forth and demonstrated in your weaknesses. My strength is brought forth and demonstrated in your weaknesses. In other words, you are the strongest when you're the weakest. When you have no resources to fall back on, only God's grace. Only God's grace provisions. When you have no place else to turn but to God, that's when you're your strongest. And that's when your life can turn around. Once everything the devil offered you has been exploited and it's all empty, and you realize it, if you wind up and haven't killed yourself yet, then maybe you might turn to the Lord and you can find the peace you're looking for. Paul adjusted his attitude about this suffering he had, and his words are recorded where he said, most gladly, because of this, I'll take pleasure in my sufferings, so that the power of Jesus Christ may rest on me, and I might add, be reflected through him. He had confidence that God loved him, and he had confidence that the suffering was given to strengthen his faith, not make him weaker. It's the same thing with you. In this time of national testing, you have an opportunity to accelerate your spiritual growth and reflect your confidence and God's love to others based on your complete, relaxed mental attitude. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's a great promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means recall all the scripture you've learned, all the faith drill rationales you know. And it means that the cosmic system has none of this. Thus, the only thing the cosmic system can offer is the fear panic ploy. And that's an action designed to turn the situation into an advantage by the devil. If he gets you afraid, he can manipulate you. And the thing he wants to make you afraid of most is death. And that's the thing no believer should ever be afraid of, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, conquered death. And he promised you that you would live also as well. So, no one suggested we pray for deliverance until our president eventually came up with a national day of prayer. I was glad to see that. But this crisis is an opportunity for evangelism. If there starts to be a lot of death, well, then people are going to start begging God to deliver them. You can see it coming, can't you? Please, God, deliver me. Please, God, deliver me. When they have never even been interested in God. They've never even been interested in the gospel. They've never even taken time to even read the Bible. And now that they're facing death, and maybe facing death alone, they panic and start calling out to God. In Proverbs 2:27, when your fear comes as a desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Then they'll seek me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. But whoever listens to me shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There's the answer. That's what's going to happen. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're paying attention, and I hope you are the one who trusts in the Lord with all of your heart. You do that by learning his word and applying it into your life through the filling of the Holy Spirit and reflecting the image of Jesus Christ to your friends. Hope it makes sense. This is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.